Welcome to the P17 podcast, Doc of the Bay. I am your Dr. Bay, and before we do anything else, I invite you to close your eyes, relax your shoulders, and sit with Mr. Otis Redding for 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. What 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Listen, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on a dock of the bay, wasting time.
I hope you enjoyed that. Mr. Redding always reminds us we're not the only one going through whatever we're going through. And now, we're ready to go on. Today's topic is more about college transfers. I've talked about transferring community and other colleges' credit and exam scores into a college. And my cliffhanger was that it's not always the best decision to take college credit or AP exams, or to actually transfer your credits or scores if you have them. And there are two strands to my question, why not? The first is logistical. As I hinted last time, logistically adding transfer credits to your college transcript may end up being moot. That means meaningless, by the way. Because even though you can get credit for it, you need to take the equivalent course anyway. This is the case for med school, which comes after your bachelor's degree. Med schools, all grad schools, have prereqs for admission, like college does from high school. Med schools won't count an exam equivalent as meeting their prereqs. So, example, say you got that 4 on AP Bio and you transferred it into a pass or credit for Bio 101 and 102, just like the college said you could. Then you go to apply to med school. It says you have to have, say, 1 year bio. If your school operates on quarters, that's 3 quarter courses, probably Bio 101, 102, and 103, 15 credits total. For schools that use terms or semesters, it's probably Bio 101 and 102, each as 6 credit courses, so 12 semester credits total. In either case, using the AP exam score to replace 101 and 102 means, to the med school, that you're missing 101 and 102. So, people who plan to go on to med school take the bio classes at the college and don't transfer the exam credit. The same mismatch of it counts at this college but doesn't count somewhere else can happen if you move from one school to another as an undergrad, that is, as a bachelor's student. This is how that could work. Example, say you get your AA from Everett Community College, and when you entered, they gave you credit for a 3 on the AP Bio course for Bio 101. But then you go to UCLA. UCLA counts AP Bio exam scores 3, 4, and 5, but they count them as life science elective credit, not a required course for science majors like Bio 101. Now you need to take Bio 101 at UCLA to graduate with a science degree. The other logistical problem you face if you transfer credit or an exam score is having to go into a more advanced course to fulfill one of the category requirements. The most common example of this is calculus. Calc is hard in high school. It's even harder in college. So, if your college gives you credit for AP Calc or AP Calc AB, and you still have more calc classes you need to take for your major, which is generally true if you're doing any engineering, computer science, most of the science degrees. Well, now you're putting yourself into a more advanced level of a harder course than you took in high school. Even my calc genius kids, and I've had them, believe me, opted to start at their college's first calc course instead of skip ahead by using their exam credit or a community college credit. If they'd transferred the credit in, then they wouldn't be allowed to take the first calc course since they already had it on their transcript. This drawback can be kind of hard to recognize. Sometimes transfer or exam credits can be used to do what's called waive a requirement. And that sounds like a no-brainer, but if that requirement is already waived on your record, you may not be allowed to take the courses that meet the requirement and be forced again, instead, to take more advanced courses. So, say you waived the writing requirement. Now you can't take any English 101 or 100 level writing courses. You have to move on to 200 level writing courses if you like to take writing courses for your degree or for just for fun. Advising again is a great place to sort all of this out. You don't automatically transfer credits or exam scores. It's a form and a process you go through once you're enrolled in the college. So going to advising to see what courses and exams would count for what and what that would actually do for you, as well as what the drawbacks are, is a really smart move. So the bottom line for logistics. If you're given the chance to take an exam or buy college credit for a course, it's worth it to look at the transfer equivalency of colleges you might apply to. At least you'll know if it's likely to be accepted and for what. Later, when you've actually enrolled in that college, you should decide if it makes sense to actually transfer the credit or not. All right, the other strand. What is that strand that might make you want to skip taking or transferring credit? Well, this one's called your sanity. Being forced to take an advanced class might not just hurt your GPA in college. It might really destroy your confidence and maybe your love for the subject, or to state it in a positive way. I want you to imagine this. You're starting college, and you know you've already done some or all of the learning and work that one of your important classes requires, because you already took an AP or college in the high school course for the same thing. You sign up for the class, and do you feel the confidence? Do you feel the break you'd be giving yourself so you can handle your other classes better? I have had hundreds of kids do this for the writing requirement courses I teach. They take them from me at Jackson for no college credit. Then they go on to, okay, I'm about to use words that are often referred to as explicit language, but as a linguist, I can say, because I care, I swear. Kids who took my class, they learned what colleges expect for writing, they practiced it, they got credit for senior English at high school. They kick ass in writing colleges and in writing classes in college. In fact, I get emails or they stop by and I hear this all the time. You won't believe it, Baker. The other kids in my class don't know anything about how to write for college. They don't know how to research. They don't know how to cite sources. But I'm an A student. Some of them would say they barely passed my class. Often because it took everything they had to keep their sanity in high school, and they had to deal with me. But notice, it paid off when they needed it to. So, rather than only focus on the bang for the buck in terms of transfer credits, of AP exams, or college credits, and I know we are always hyping how these will help you in the future, consider putting that buck in your personal sanity bank, and earning some interest. future you is going to be really grateful. On that note, yes, college admissions likes college and AP on your record, but this does not mean you have to take the exam or to take the course for college credit. You challenged yourself with college-level work. That's what they wanted to see. And guess what? You stayed sane at the same time. Score.